Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that buys its jokes wholesale. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
your host does some catching up, we find out if the Muppets' return was worth the wait, and Adam asks for his release so we can go play for another podcast.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, Scope is back. Episode 117. The podcast that keeps on giving, now every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Adam's in the house, Jared's in the house. Got a lot to talk about.
Every 3 weeks, what is that?
It seems like that's about the average for our show now. It's got dropped from two to, they're gone up from two
I
to three.
I think it's been four or five
yeah.
now. We skipped all of November.
We didn't, had nothing to do with November.
Because we were all growing mustaches.
Yeah, that was the whole plan of it. Adam's only one.
It's called No Scope Movember for a reason.
It is.
We couldn't bear to be around each other. So much facial hair power.
I know. Boy, it's really getting dark in here now that...
That's racist.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. We'll get to the racism segment later. We're actually sitting in the subterranean Scope Studios waiting for Snowmageddon to start.
What are you talking about?
We got snow coming our way.
We do not.
I was unaware of this. Is this true?
I've heard anywhere between 1.5 feet of snow, Jared. 1 inch.
No. It's going to track south of us.
Jared says he's got his own Doppler radar. He's got a new iPhone now, so apparently he's Mr. Weatherman. He can just check into all that stuff. Are you promising, Jared?
I also have the internet.
It's got the internet. Oh, that's what we're using now to get this.
That thing's still around?
It is. Nobody's given up on it. I like that. So hopefully we can finish the show before we get buried in the basement studios itself. So, just be prepared for that this might be our last show ever.
Who's your go-to weather site or man or woman, I guess?
I've got the Weather Channel app on my iPhone, which I go to a lot. And I also...
That means every 10 minutes, right?
Every 10 minutes. And I also get tweets from a guy that's like a Minnesota weather guy, and he sends out links, and he pretty much likes to critique all of the Minnesota weather forecasting that comes through, and it's usually off quite a bit. So it's kind of interesting.
Paul Douglas.
I like Paul Douglas, too. They call him, locally, they call him the goof on the roof. They call him the weather terrorist because he tends to be a bit alarmist in his stuff, but... I still think that he is very well versed in the weather world and pretty knowledgeable. So there you go. What about you, Jared? Do you even pay attention to the weather?
I occasionally watch WCCO News and get Chris Schaefer. I follow him on Twitter, but he doesn't tweet out a lot of weather stuff.
He just talks about
really,
his...
If I'm interested in weather, I'll just pull up whatever weather app I have on my phone or look on the internet.
32 degrees and partly cloudy.
I still run Firefox and I have Forecast Fox add-on in there, which gives me a little forecast current temperature and stuff like that. But I don't really spend a lot of time.
The power
on
went
weather.
Out on this.
Oh, our power went out, Jared. We've got a
just on the headphones. I assume.
Can you hear us talking, Jared?
I can hear you fine.
This went out. We can't hear anything through our headphones.
Oh. Well, that's a bummer. I guess we'll just have to do the show with just me.
There we go.
Ahead. Anyway, hey, Scope Maniacs, what's going on there? We're going to pause and try to fix this.
We bored everyone to death, or the box to death, talking about Paul Douglas.
The box gave out on us.
Pausing here. Here we go.
Right.
We're back.
Technical difficulties aside, we're good to go.
We'll fix that in post.
We will.
No, we won't.
Take it out.
I'm not fixing that one. I'm leaving that right where it is.
Just keeping it in. So I wanted to...
It's a reality program, Shane.
A lot of warts. So I wanted to ask Adam and Jared about their Thanksgiving, since we did skip all of November.
All right.
And Adam, all over the place, Jared. He's taking road trips. He's on the west coast of our great country.
Yep. I love America.
Okay. How did you get over there, Adam, and what was the reasoning behind it?
First of all, I was first place in Foursquare for the first time in my entire life.
So how do you get a first place? Are you just...
It just looks at all your friends and it compares and you get points and I don't know.
First place eternally?
For the week?
A weekly tally? How does that work?
When I checked in at the Hoover Dam, Mandy said, I think that that's the I win. Like you just, now you win forever. But it turns out not the case.
Mm.
I think it's a 7-day rolling tally.
Gotcha. So it resets and then...
Not resets. Like every time you look look at it, it's just for the last 7 days.
Gotcha. So, okay.
Whatever 24 hours times 7 is. So how did I get there? For work, we were in Kentucky. We were in Louisville the week prior. Mm-hmm. And then I got home on Thursday night, and 7 in the morning on Friday, left. Flew to San Diego and drove around a bunch, did a bunch of stuff.
Were you visiting relatives, or was this just is this like just the grand road trip that Aaron
so
and Mandy are
we
taking?
Knew, so we were having Thanksgiving with Mandy's brother in Phoenix. And so we knew that we had...
The city or the band?
Both. Oh. Both were there.
Listomania.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Phoenix. Listomania cranberry sauce.
And they're European. It's surprising that they celebrate.
Phoenix and Phoenix. It happens. So, yeah, we knew we had 5 days, 5 or 6 days, to get from San Diego to Phoenix, and we could do whatever we wanted. We didn't really have anything planned, didn't have any hotels booked. The only thing we had were the flights out there and back. And
a backpack and a smile.
I like it.
And the rental car.
A little wacky tobacky.
And so, yeah, that was, and then we just kind of figured out what we were going to do as we went along. So there's a lot to do in San Diego, got a hotel, and then we went up the coast a little bit, did some other stuff, got a hotel, and kept doing that.
What's hotel? What is a hotel?
Yeah. Yes.
Any explain to us? Flea bag.
You seem to be getting a lot of them.
Have you heard of a bed hotel, bugs? A motel, or a Holiday Inn?
I've heard of all three.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Okay.
Nice.
It rained for...
Is this like a roach motel? Is that it's very similar to that?
We did check out, so no, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not one of those.
I like how he didn't say the whole thing. He just punctuated it.
Those who know.
Yes, right. I liked it. It rained, Adam's on fire today.
It rained for a whole day in Southern California.
That's very odd. Does not happen.
So we drove up the coast from Oceanside, and we were going to go to L.A. And
did everything blossom as they, you know, places where it doesn't rain, and you get rain, and like you see those...
Like in Wally? Like at the end of Wally, sure, yeah. Where no
everything's the flowers are blooming and the bees are happy.
So you know we were going to just do stupid stuff like Walk of Fame or whatever in LA. There's not like for as far as you know as much as there is to do in LA. There's not that much like to see in LA. Like there were like 1,000 concerts and comedy shows that we could have stopped at and did, but
you could do that anywhere.
Not like that though. There were a lot of shows. There were like 4 different stand-up comedy shows. On Saturday night there that I wanted to go see. Like, there's one a month here, maybe.
2 of them done by Judy Tenuta.
Yeah, well, all of them. Hosted by Judy Tenuta. her one-woman show is my favorite of the one-woman shows that I've seen. So I was like, let's go to Palm Springs. It literally rains 5 days a year.
And Palm Springs is like a desert oasis,
yes.
Right?
It was raining in Palm Springs.
That is insane, Adam.
So I gave up. We were... Anyway, we knew we were going to go to Vegas, so...
La Nina? El Nino?
Yeah, one
perhaps?
Of those. We stopped at some place and got another hotel. We got to Vegas. I got a Groupon for the Hard Rock Hotel.
Oh.
It was, like, when I was in Kentucky, you know, right before the trip, there was a Groupon all of a sudden for the Hard Rock Hotel for 2 nights for the price of 1, plus 4 drink coupons at any of their bars, and $40 in food at any of their restaurants. So I was like, sure, whatever.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It's not on the Strip. It's 2 blocks off the Strip. And Mandy and I have never been to Vegas before.
Really? That was your first time?
First time. And I didn't realize how big a block is in Las
Vegas.
Gigantic.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's a lot of walking.
It was a 25-minute walk from our hotel to the Strip, and it was 2 blocks.
Oh, my Lord.
But, I mean, whatever. 25. We could have taken it. We took cabs.
A lot of cabs. That's what we did when we were there.
Yeah. But that hotel, because it's off the Strip, it's kind of dead.
Really?
For the most part, yeah.
Isn't the pool area by the Hard Rock Hotel supposed to be crazy?
Well, like, here's the thing.
Sexy hot?
It is.
Yeah.
But it was closed the whole time.
Really?
Because it was not warm enough.
Oh, what a bummer.
It was like 70 every day, but like, I guess, I don't know.
That's whatever. Not hot enough, I guess.
Yeah. But our suite overlooked the pool, and they play, like, some fucking party music, from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m., and I assume probably much later when the pool's actually open.
Sure.
What percentage of party music there was dubstep?
I would say 95%. It was dubstep and that party rock anthem song.
Laughing my ass off.
Yes. That was it the entire time.
Wow. I'm going on record saying I'm already tired of dubstep.
I don't even know what dubstep is. Yeah, I've heard it. I don't even. Give me a song that's a dubstep song that I would know.
Party rock anthem dubstep remix.
Is that the version they play on the radio?
Just Google dubstep remix. Every song has
yes.
one.
Okay.
I can dig some up if you want. I don't.
Happy birthday dubstep remix.
Have you heard
favorite.
Of a Skrillex?
No.
You've not heard of Skrillex.
Yeah, what was I watching last night with that? Oh, on Beavis and Butthead.
They have dubstep episode?
No, they have, you know, they're watching a Skrillex video.
Jared is on the hunt.
I can't wait.
This is going to be fun. I feel like enlightening.
My machine can actually handle this shit now, which is awesome.
Yeah, Jared is... I like it already.
Yeah.
Why am I not into this?
I don't know.
You just wait till the dubstep-y part kicks in.
Right. That's not even the dubstep?
You want me to talk over this?
Sure.
So, I'm trying to make my story go in rhythm to the song now.
We're asking a lot of
hard,
you.
Yeah. So anyway, I would never stay off the strip again.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Is this the dubstep part?
No. Just wait. It kicks in.
I'll know it.
You'll know it.
I don't need to ask when it happens.
I think it's coming up right about now.
Yes! Oh my god!
There you go. Okay, sure. Sort of nasty, dirty, funky. They've been playing this on So You Think You Can Dance for years. I mean, I'm well ahead of the curve on that.
Wow, you know a lot about dubstep.
Oh, Jesus.
Then we did the touristy trip from Vegas.
A little Skrillex for you.
Jared didn't make that right there.
No, I'm just impressed that he called it up so quickly.
Okay. I went to YouTube and Googled it.
Nice.
the ability to spell Skrillex that quickly was pretty good.
Is there a Q in there?
There was a big article about on Skrillex and the whole dance scene in general not too long ago in Spin Magazine. I'm surprised you didn't read it.
I don't read Spin Magazine cover to cover, so.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, what about all the ads for sex ladies?
Mm-hmm, that's my favorite part.
Okay. I imagine you skipped the article in the most recent issue about the new underground hip-hop scene.
I haven't started reading that issue yet, so. Sorry.
That new Doom
Tree
album.
Sorry for the Spin Tangent fans.
That new Doom Tree album is really good, by the way.
All right. How's it compared to the new Kelly Clarkson?
I can't compare the two. I assume not as good.
Okay.
But
okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Then we did a tourist trip down to Phoenix.
Yep.
Drove by the Hoover Dam.
Sure.
Never been there.
Do you feel like you were part of the American fabric seeing something like Hoover Dam? Were you impressed by its massiveness, or was it... You know,
sure, yeah. You know, I would really recommend
something you've seen in World of Warcraft 100 times over.
There actually is a giant dam in World of Warcraft.
Of course, there is.
Yeah, the Stone Route Dam, I think.
He knows the name of it.
I would strongly recommend that everyone watch. Stephen Fry has a show called The States or 50 States, where he goes to every state over like 8 or 10 episodes, mm-hmm. and focuses on them. And he does a huge one on the Colorado River and the entire Southwest's water supply issues.
It's pretty scary, right?
Yeah. But it's interesting because, you know, you see it right there, how it's dropped like 12 feet and who knows how long.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Interesting how it takes someone from across the pond to expose us to our own problems here in the United States.
Very deep, Jared.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could say it deeper if you want.
Whoa. That was almost
it's
Cleveland.
It's too minty.
Anyway, it was. Then we got down to Phoenix and had 6 minty. Days there.
What was that
Bear
about sex?
Claw? Why don't they call it vanilla with chocolate and peanuts?
I don't know what you're doing.
It's Andre the Giant orders an ice cream.
Ah. It's a really bad Andre the Giant.
I thought it was funny. Mine is bad, but Jason Segel's is pretty good.
Yes. I'm saying your impression was that bad that I couldn't even know it was like it was from the movie.
Yeah,
I
can't do
6
that.
Days ago.
My wrestler of choice is still the Macho Man.
All right. Mine's Dino Bravo.
All right. Well, we're going to do that all next episode. We're going to have our wrestling invitation bet anyway. Sorry. So you
No. And then we went to Phoenix and had Thanksgiving.
Then you came back here. Are you done traveling now for
I go
the holiday
to Rapid
season?
City. Well, we're going to go to Fargo for Christmas, sure. I assume. I go to Rapid City tomorrow for work.
And you're going to be there for a week?
A week.
Oh, my goodness.
I got upgraded to first class.
Congratulations. How long is a flight to Rapid City?
It's an hour and a half, supposedly.
Really?
Probably more an hour 15 or an hour 10.
Yeah.
I could probably put down 2 drinks in that time.
So. I bet you. You've already had 2 today. Jared, we're looking at you.
Yeah?
You've got travel plans, don't you?
I do, but I thought we were talking about Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Let's go back to Thanksgiving. Where'd you go?
I went to Mom's.
Oh, that's right.
As I often do. It was actually, we did double dinners. We had my mom. We always have dinner at like 1, which actually turned into about 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then we had to jot off to... Hold on a second. I'm going to educate Adam for a second.
driver. It's a short bit.
Hello, lady. What do I want? Mint chocolate chip? Oh, it's too minty. Moose tracks.
This is from the Jason Segel SNL? I haven't watched it yet.
Fudge plus vanilla with some peanuts in it. I don't know. Only that's the professional. So many flavors. I wish I could eat all of you. One scoop of vanilla.
And he gets a tiny little ice cream
cone. It's like
cone.
He's giant, so the cone he gets is like 3 inches tall.
This has been
there you go.
Andre the Giant chooses an ice cream flavor.
There nice. You go. Just for you, Adam. Just so now you. Now you know when we talk about it too minty. You know what we're talking about.
All right.
All right, so Thanksgiving. You know, went to Mom's. Standard dinner. You know, I made up a couple of casseroles to take with.
Casseroles.
Green bean casserole and a scalloped corn. It was delicious.
Did you guys know that green bean casserole is a Midwestern thing?
I would have never guessed.
Yeah, it's a casserole. It has to be Midwestern.
No, a hot dish would tell you it's a Midwestern thing. I mean, for sure.
Green bean hot dish.
Yeah.
Is that different?
I'm trying to think. I think it's always been referred as being green. Casserole. Green bean casserole yeah. growing up. Yeah. Maybe that's the only casserole that we make.
So now it's marketed on Campbell's soup cans and French's French yeah. fried onion
that's the
containers. Is that not happen? Is that only regionally that they do that?
I mean, I as a child, I never bought French's onions mm-hmm. or
cream of mushroom soup.
Nobody does except for Thanksgiving.
Cream of mushroom soup is the most disgusting looking thing. I hate cream of mushroom soup.
I love it.
It's this gray.
I don't know if I've ever had it other than green bean casserole, which I do love. I'm just saying I had never heard of or saw. Like when you go to the grocery store, you know now they sell the three things together, like or they have a
stand
I never,
of
I
some
never
sort.
Saw that growing up in Virginia.
Growing up, Jared, did you ever eat cream of mushroom soup just by itself?
No, it's always in something.
We growing up, like this must be because I went to poor daycares, but it just triggered my memory. Like they would serve cream of mushroom soup. That's just what you would get with crackers and maybe it was disgusting.
I don't know how you want it. It always seems like a base for something else.
Sure.
So.
Well, I went to a really good daycare.
Back in the 70s.
We were lording over you with our chicken and stars.
Oh, my goodness. You got it
all. Wow.
Every other Friday, we got alphabet soup.
Uh-oh. So, yeah. So, Mom's was, you know, standard Thanksgiving. Nothing too exciting there. And then we had to take off and go up the road a bit to Angie's folks' house where they were having a dinner. And we were
stuffing yourself.
Supposedly they were supposed to eat at 4, so mm-hmm. we actually left my mom's a little late. So I thought we were going to be late, but we actually didn't end up eating until like 6.
So you were ready to go by that
time.
That
is not when you eat
I was actually hungry
dinner.
Again. So it worked out well.
Why do you have to eat Thanksgiving dinner so early?
So that you can have sandwiches later.
Sandwiches, sure.
I don't know. I think the majority of the people I know eat Thanksgiving, you know, from 4 to 7 p.m. somewhere in that area.
It depends on when the good football game is on.
I guess.
We usually eat by 1.
Yeah,
our first meal.
Ours is yeah, and it's always has been early. And maybe that's just I don't know. Maybe if you do you have a family that comes from farming stock?
I don't think they do.
Okay,
they're hardy folk, but you know they're not out there with the oxen.
All right,
with the plows tending to the fields, which they could have done this year because the temperature was about 60 degrees here in Minnesota on Thanksgiving.
It was very nice, very pleasant day to be sure.
I don't have a lot to offer in terms of what I did on Thanksgiving because I just leave it to you guys to
really
tell
done,
the good stories.
No.
Oh, I thought
right.
you were done.
No, you just cut me off. That's all right.
Okay, go ahead. Finish your story.
Because there is something, you know, sort of interesting happened.
Oh, did you tell me about this? Do
no,
I
have
this?
Not told you about
oh.
this, and I won't get into too much detail. Okay, but so,
sex swing?
So dinner's fine, normal. We're sitting around. I think we were watching football or something. I don't remember what we were doing. Anyway, we're sitting around, and Angie's stepdad, Alan, is a little... I don't know if he forgets things or what, but okay. So they've sold their house. They're moving to their condo, and there's kind of a short timeline because they're closing like in January.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they're trying to clear everything out, and we've laid claim to certain pieces of furniture in the house.
All right, like the sex swing, Adam.
Yes.
A used
we want to make
swing.
Sure it stays in the family.
Nice.
That's why you're cleaning the basement out here. You're getting your proper bracketing up in the rafters.
Well, you know, you got to support it properly. I also like atmospheric lighting, so I'll be doing some of that. So anyway, a couple times throughout the evening, mm-hmm. he starts laying out the timeline, right?
Sure.
Like, December 17th. Got to have everything up by then, otherwise it's going to the dump.
Yes.
Whatever. So it's like, we've got 3 weeks. I'm like, okay, yeah, I know the timeline. Great. If it's if we don't claim the furniture, it's on us. No problem.
No diggity.
Goes through it again, like an hour later or so.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, okay. But he doesn't do it like, I don't think you heard me the first time. It's like almost like it's the conversation is reset to the beginning. Uh-huh. And it's like, so you want that bed, right?
Are you trapped in some sort of time loop?
This has happened before with other things. Uh-oh. But it's just, it came up again. And then, so the second time was pretty much the same as the first. December 17th, cut off, blah, blah, blah. We know. I know. I say, yes, I know the timeline. We're making arrangements. And if we fail to meet that, then, hey, that's our problem. Don't worry about it.
It's on us.
Third time comes around later in the evening.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if he's drunk. I don't know if he's been drinking. He's a little more slurry this time around.
Is there early onset dementia going on? What is going on?
But third time we're going through. Suddenly we lose a week. Suddenly now
time is suddenly the clock is ticking.
Suddenly the cutoff is December 10th because he doesn't want to risk anything. So okay, so that's got it. I understand.
That's a curveball.
Yep. And then suddenly he gets a little grouchy about how some stuff has been in the house for far too long, like years, and he's not saying it specifically, but he's definitely intimating, you know, like Angie and her sisters have stuff that's in the house.
Like, get it out of here,
girls.
That needs
to go. It's been there for years, and they haven't dealt with it, and he's a little irksome about it.
Uh-oh.
So, and then after Angie's mom kind of, like, calms him down, so he's like, they know it's going to be dealt with, and he just kind of gets up, leaves the room, goes to another room with the TV, and spent the rest of the night there.
Really?
I don't think he may have fallen asleep too or something. I don't know. But so at that point, Angie and I went downstairs, claimed some stuff since we were there, got out in the car, and made a graceful departure.
Wow.
It's time to go.
That's a little bit of holiday family dysfunction there.
It's interesting in that that is my first incidence of family dysfunction at a holiday event that I've ever experienced. Ever. You always hear tales of, you know, someone's uncle who's drunk and does something stupid, or, you know, so-and-so is angry at another person. And I've never had any of that drama, at least not on the surface that I've noticed.
Sure.
And so it's interesting that I've finally got my first bit of holiday drama.
A little uncomfortable, perhaps?
I was a little uncomfortable, but at the same time, I could detach myself from and go, wow, I've actually had my first holiday drama. This is kind of cool.
And it's not like it was your mom yelling at you.
No.
It was...
And there were no racial epithets being tossed.
Racism completely out of this?
No. There was no racism.
Good. We say that for this show. So you laid claim to your stuff, and you, as we all know now, the 10th is the magic day, isn't
10th,
it?
10th, apparently it's the magic day. That's next weekend.
What are you getting out of there? Neo Geo? Atari 64?
Atari 64, I love that.
No, actually, we're getting a new bed out of it. So it's
sexy.
It's a queen-size bed. It's bigger than the one we have. It'll barely fit in our bedroom.
But, California queen?
No.
California
there'll
queen.
There'll be no California sizing in this house.
What, does California queen just have nothing but avocado on it? Or
did you know that one county California supplies 99% of America's avocados?
I did not know that. Did you know that, Ed?
No way.
Can you guys play...
Oh, Jared, revving up to the Ed McMahon.
I don't know where to go.
Can you guys... I don't understand. Can you guys play a YouTube video to explain that joke to me?
Well, it was Johnny Carson.
Yes.
That was weird.
Anyway.
Poor Adam. He's totally lost.
So we're getting a new bed out of it. It's going to require... Well, part of the process is I'm getting rid of stuff in the basement here so that Angie can have places to store her stuff, so that stuff that is currently in the bedroom can then get moved out of it. And then we have to figure out... We have to get rid of the old bed, and it's just the whole... It's like a sequence of events that has to happen in order for the bed to actually get into the room.
Sounds like you have like a whole George Carlin bit, you know, with stuff here, moving stuff to here to get stuff to there.
Yes.
And the next show will be out broadcast from the brand new bed upstairs.
Wow.
Be very exciting.
What?
Yeah, that's what we're going to be recording. We're going to go on
The last time we did a show on beds, It didn't turn out very well.
No, it didn't. A lot of drunkenness.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, I'm happy to get it. It's a big upgrade from what we have. So,
well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks.
Sleeping space is always good. Wow, look at the time, Jared. It's been one hefty A block. I guess that's what happens.
Oh, shit.
That's what happens.
We haven't even gotten to the B block
when
yet.
You don't even do a long show. So let's push right into it, guys. We've got our Nerd Roundtable coming up. That really what that means is the three of us covering topics of the day, kind of like the Views Hot Topics, if you will.
Which one of us gets to be that one lady that doesn't believe
apparently in, the Saturday Night Live stuff just kept playing.
Very right. Strange. You can be
Sherry Shepherd. I want to be Sherry Shepherd.
Yes. I do not know, Whoopi. I do not know.
Maybe the Earth is flat.
Maybe it is. We'll be doing that.
I've never been to space. How do I know if it's not flat?
Exactly. We're going to be reviewing the new movie from Disney and the Jim Henson production studio of The Muppets.
We're doing that again?
With special guest star. Wait a second. Very tricky. Very tricky. And the remaining Under the Scope elements, news and coming soon. Previous. No, so that'll be very reviews. Good. We're all here. We're on fire. We're putting together a great episode 117, so stick around for more Scope right after this.
This is The Funk. B-B-Q-I-N-G-O.
Skeksis back. Those mystic creatures don't know how to act. I think their prophecy is kind of
get up on the dance floor and do the unthinkable.
I have a super. It's made of wood. It's useless.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. thefump.com. Funny.
Everybody, we're back. Episode 117, Nerd Roundtable. I don't know how many times we've done this.
Seven.
Six, seven times.
I just counted them all in my head.
Adam has photographic memory.
Yep.
I haven't been here for them, but about what the show is about, what the roundtable entails.
We got topics and a table full of nerds ready to discuss the said topics. Here we go.
Nothing.
Is there a theme?
Is there a theme?
To the topics.
No, we're going to be covering a bunch of different stuff.
You call it potpourri?
Potpourri.
Hodgepodge?
John? So stick around for the Nerd Roundtable.
Thanks for rescuing us, Jared.
I don't know. Professional show, folks.
Professionals. We're doing this a long time. You'd think we'd have it figured out. Or think I'd have it figured out. The answer is no.
We haven't done it in a while.
We haven't. I'm excited about this next one.
Next one.
This first one.
Our first topic was introducing the segment, yes. Apparently.
And that didn't go so well. So it's all uphill from here, guys.
It is. So here it is, guys. Fall TV Revisited.
Oh, boy.
So I figure it's a good point. We're at a lot of
kind of at the mid-season?
We're kind of at mid-season. Yeah. You know, a lot of shows are on hiatus or creeping up on them. So I wanted to talk specifically about new shows.
Okay.
What new shows, guys, are you still watching? We'll start with that one. Jared.
Should I just list them off?
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess new shows that I'm still watching. American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
Still watching that. New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Still watching that. Still sticking around with Terra Nova, even though I know it's not that great. But I know it's a short series, so.
It is almost done already.
I guess I'm sticking around with Up All Night.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Write that down on my list.
I was close to dropping it, just because I'm
it's too much baby stuff.
It
sometimes.
Is too much baby
I'm
stuff.
Always, yeah,
and that was what I was scared of, and that's kind of what's happening. But it's moving to Thursday night, and I know that in order to catch the final joke of The Office, I'm going to have to record Up All Night anyway.
Sure. Those bastards,
because of the way TiVo's works or NBC schedules or stuff, whatever. So
very tricky.
I'll probably stick with it for now.
Not bad.
That'll probably be the curtain call for my watching of Whitney, though.
Whitney is done.
You have been sticking with it?
I've been sticking with it for the joke at the end of The Office and just because. Okay. But I've been hoping that it would get better, and it's just not. This is not a good show.
No,
so.
It just doesn't seem it.
No.
Even with Chelsea Handler making an appearance on the next episode?
Well, she was on this past week, I believe, as the counselor.
Oh, maybe I'm just since I'm behind on my TiVo watching.
And you know what? She was actually really funny.
Maybe they need to have her on there all the time.
I guess. The scenes where she was involved were funny. And maybe that's because Whitney needs someone of her caliber or better to play against in a scene.
Sure.
And it kind of brings everything up, but I don't know.
Could that show have been better if they would have done it in the less traditional sitcom-y style? Or is it just the premise
shitty? I just think it's the writing, and I think it's the style of Whitney Cummings' humor. And I don't know that it works in a sitcom format.
Do you think that they've neutered her a little bit? I mean, she's definitely out of the Lisa Lampanelli style of comedy where she's sort of crude and she's willing to say anything, but in a show like this, you can only push it so far.
I think it's less about content, more about style, and her setup punchline type stuff works much better in a roast format or maybe even a stand-up comedy format than it does. It just doesn't translate to sitcom.
Square circle, round peg. That's what we're saying.
Right.
You're trying to force her into something that just is not her.
Right. I'm trying to think if there's any other shows that are new that I am still
I can think of one.
Watching. What's that?
Person of Interest.
Oh, yes. I like it. It's fun. Jimmy Caviezel kicks ass every week. It's awesome.
All right.
Have you started that at all?
No.
Are you going to start it? Are you just going to cut bait?
I don't know.
Is it too much? Is it too much burden at this
point? It's too much burden. That's too much.
All right.
Adam, over to you.
Yeah.
What shows are you supposed to
hold on a second. Person of Interest was going to be your must-watch show this fall.
We'll get to it.
All right.
We'll get to it. You can roast me.
I don't want to roast you. I just want to know what happened. Other than just getting behind.
Housewives. Nothing but housewives in my house. Housewives from every community in the country. We got to watch those first.
It's a burden. Yeah. So for me, I started the season off with, I think, a good number of new shows to watch.
Sure.
Like what?
Terra Nova, yeah. Person of Interest.
Yeah, probably the same stuff.
Yeah. Man.
Homeland. I forgot that one.
Yeah.
Awesome show.
And I've been downloading that. I haven't watched any of that yet. So Person of Interest, I just don't need another procedural.
That's kind of what I thought too, but I'm enjoying the main.
I only gave it like two episodes for what it's worth, and I have enough. So Terra Nova is not good.
It's not.
I don't like it.
I like the Stephen Lang stuff, but that's about it.
There's no
way he's a little labored.
Right. There's no way they keep that show next year. It's really expensive.
For as expensive as it is, it looks sort of crappy.
Like shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, weird. It's like you put all this money into it and dinosaur planet, and terrible. You don't have dinosaurs.
Well, and when you do see them, they look terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, supposedly Fringe is runs on about 10% of the budget of that show. Obviously, it gets way lower ratings, but I mean, you can tell with Fringe because they've moved to green screening behind and to the side of car shots now.
Yes.
And you can see that. But other than that, the shows kind of seem like they're on the same budget. I mean, they're not, but if you want to look really close. So I've given up on all of them. Every show that I started watching.
He's out.
Except for, so we still watch Up All Night, like we talked about.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm happy that NBC has some sort of surprise hit, I guess, in that show, but still doesn't get good ratings. Suburgatory.
Is that good?
It's supposed to be all right.
It's pretty funny.
Because I didn't want to watch it, but I know Alan Tudyk's on it, and I hear good stuff. So
yeah.
I'm kind of on the fence about whether I'm going to go back and give that a shot.
It's, you know, a sarcastic girl moves to terrible suburbs, and we laugh at them. It's weird. That show gets decent enough ratings, but it's weird because, you know, everyone that watches it is a suburbanite, so it's like, are we laughing at ourselves? And then the only other show that's quote unquote new that I'm still watching is Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, I suppose, but that's
Mandy likes the new girl, but I hate Zooey Deschanel.
Wow,
so I can't stand that show.
Wow, not even the rest of the cast. I think they do a good job.
The last episode of that show might have been one of the funniest half hours of TV this year.
Which one is that?
The bells, the ringing of the bells.
See, I think the Thanksgiving one was much
better.
God,
I love that bells one. So funny.
I was distracted by the ridiculously impossible bell playing of the guy. I mean, you could not.
The triple
bell.
It is
not physically possible because he got too many notes out of those bells.
I know
that bothered me, and it took me out of the episode.
Jared,
Jared's
a musician guy. I understand.
Took
you know?
Me out.
You're saying they're like lip syncing the bells?
Well, he's got
would hold three bells at the same time, and he could like have one
he's playing
sound
like eight different notes.
Yeah,
it's like impossible.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, you couldn't do that.
Did you guys see the clip with the American Idol guy? lip syncing at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
No.
Yeah.
Is that something to do with the New Girl? Or is that just
on Fox?
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Yes.
I'm watching pretty much the same shows as Jared.
Yeah.
American Horror Story, New Girl, Up All Night. And then the other show that we're still watching, but we can compress 3 hours of TV into about half an hour, is X Factor.
Yeah. Is that a show you'll stick around with in the future, or are you just kind of riding out the season and said that's it?
You know what? I think I like X Factor better than American Idol, but
Idol has a history.
Have a history.
It's got the clout.
I just don't know if I'm just into these singing competitions anymore. You know,
about The Voice? It's coming up.
I won't watch The Voice.
Did you watch it last year?
I watched some
of it. NBC needs you to watch The Voice.
I didn't watch it.
It doesn't matter if you're watching it. Will Carrie watch it?
That is going to manipulate
TV time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I'm pretty sure you don't watch Housewives.
Don't watch much of the Housewives.
But you can't watch other shows because Housewives are being watched. So I'm concerned.
Is this being watched? Do you need a marriage therapy? What is going on?
I'm just concerned that maybe you need to have your own TV set up somewhere to watch your shows.
Very possible, and I am hearing that Comcast is going to be available on Xbox Live, so I could probably pull in a lot of those shows right through my Xbox if I wanted to do that.
On demand or something?
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work. But. All right. It's coming. So out of all these new shows, what's your favorite new show of the season? Adam.
Pass.
Jared.
My two favorites are New Girl and American Horror Story. I'm going to go New Girl.
Me too.
Yeah?
I like those. American Horror Story, I'm surprised you don't watch that
show. I watched the first one. I don't like weird for weirdness's sake, and I felt like that's what that show was.
I think there's more of a story developing at this point.
Yeah, there's definitely... It took a while to kind of... get the basic plot line down, but I think that they're there now.
Did you watch this week's episode?
No, we're behind. Okay. But
they managed to work in a popular LA historical murder into the murder house. It's kind of interesting.
Cool.
The one from LA Noir?
I don't know what that is.
It's a video game.
Right, but I don't know what the murder is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not real.
Oh,
it's a video game.
No, this is an actual.
Video games aren't real, guys.
Okay,
fair enough. I'm excited to watch it. That show was one I had no interest in. Carrie recorded it, and I didn't even watch the first episode. I watched like 10 minutes of it, and then I watched the second episode, and I thought it was
good. You know? There are significant things are brought up in this new episode that kind of tell you where things are going. So.
I think if you want to talk about core on cable television, that American Horror Story might even be a little more gruesome than Walking Dead in some ways. Like it just. It bugs me. It bugs me in ways that Walking Dead doesn't, which I think they're trying to do. So there you go. All right, so Fall TV Revisited. We've got a bunch of new shows coming up, starting in January, I think.
Alcatraz starts up.
Alcatraz, very excited about that one. Mm-hmm. There's another one called The River, which is from the makers of Paranormal Activity, which looks kind of interesting. Yeah. Some other things popping up as well.
Kiefer Sutherland has that...
Yeah, his son has got special powers or something like that.
I think I'm saddest about Community getting benched for now.
The AV Club says they had a good article, like 5 good reasons why you shouldn't be overly concerned. So maybe it'll last. But
TV by the Numbers has been saying that too. It's like they're not saying it's canceled. They're saying it's like so close to getting syndicated that Sony will give it away so cheaply just to get the syndication episodes. So
For the record, the last episode of Community had its highest ratings, I think, of the season or the last something weeks.
NBC did pretty well overall just because everyone else had reruns.
Sure.
So
they need to just
which was a great episode, by the way.
Yeah,
if they turn the show into an anime show instead of a real show, but then we would get to see Alison Brie. So I don't
a not, show that takes risks in Doesn't the end is well. A good thing.
Well. Not for ratings.
Not for ratings.
No, it's not. It's great for us. We get the jokes, and we appreciate that they take risks, but the general audience just goes, what is this? I don't care.
Maybe it's a show on NBC. We don't have to say it takes risks. Just a show on NBC doesn't do well.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam.
Yes?
This next topic's for you.
Oh, great.
Which is better, Skyrim or Batman Arkham City?
I don't think they're fair games to compare.
Well, of course they're not fair games to compare, but which do you enjoy playing so much? Playing more right now.
Right. Well,
not right now, but in general.
Hmm. Probably Arkham City still, but Skyrim will probably eclipse that at some point here pretty soon.
Gotcha.
Skyrim's just it's just weird. It's really good, but it's weird. Either one of you play Saints Row 3 yet?
No.
No.
Oh, man, I really want to play that game soon. Okay.
Let me ask you this. I know you're not Christian, so Christmas has no meaning to you.
Yeah.
But are you spending Christmas in Skyrim?
Is that a thing?
It's a song that John Mapes wrote and made a video for. He's spending Christmas in Skyrim.
He loves Skyrim.
Do you see his crazy, like, Rooster Cogburn drinking wine promotional video?
No,
like,
I gotta say that.
Oh my god, he's nuts.
He is a nutty guy. That guy's got issues.
No, I won't, though, because I can't during when we're in Fargo.
Right. So you're traveling.
Yeah.
I can't when I'm in Florida.
I really wish I could. I could pick one easier. Like, if it was, like, between the two, what's going to be game of the year, I would say Skyrim, just because Arkham City's kind of already been done.
Yeah, Skyrim's this massive thing.
Yeah, but hasn't Skyrim already been done? I mean, Oblivion,
I
Morrowind.
Hated those games. I could not play those games for more than a couple hours, and I don't know what the difference is. Like, I already want
to... How do they all compare to Choo Choo Rocket?
They're not nearly as good as Choo Choo
Rocket.
How
infuriating do those games make people compared to how mad Jared would play get with Choo Choo Rocket?
Choo Choo Rocket, best party game of all time.
It's quite good.
Ugh. Terrible.
Jared gets angry. Just like, yeah. His face is turning beet red.
That fucking cat!
Cannot stand that game.
Stop picking on me. That's what I would say to Earl. I've been thinking about this one, yeah. Adam. Jared.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what's us. Hotter? A hot girl... cosplaying Catwoman,
right.
Or a hot girl cosplaying like Black Widow.
Black Widow from X-Men?
From the Avengers.
Yeah.
So, okay, so in both cases they're hot girls.
Yeah.
What's
hotter?
Is this Scarlett Johansson versus... Who's Catwoman?
I don't know.
Halle Berry I don't find to be attractive. So.
Or you could throw in Black Cat, too, from Spider-Man, too. No. What's the hottest broad? Which one of those are you going to hit first, Adam?
You're going to end first?
Which costume?
I'm kind of tired.
I think Scarlett Johansson is a perfect human being, so, I mean...
Oh, wow.
Jared, he says Black Widow. What do you say?
I go Black Widow, too, just because it hasn't been done as much. Catwoman's just... I'm tired of it.
Also, Catwoman has generic slutty girl with cat ears on.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's half of Halloween costumes right
what
there.
What about Spider-Man's Black Cat?
I don't know who that is.
She is, and she's slutty, too.
Did you just see her vagina the entire time?
I don't
she
know.
She has crotchless...
not quite very much, but...
She does. It's very trend-setting, but controversial in comic books that she would have that.
Like, why they would do that, I don't know, but...
And pierced labia.
Labia's everywhere.
Amazing that most parents haven't spoken up about that.
It sneaks through the cracks.
Well, Spider-Man, as a Latino now, people don't pay attention, I guess.
I don't know. I think I would pick... I'd probably pick Black Cat first. I would pick Black Widow second and Catwoman three for me. But I'd take them all. I'd do any one of them.
Wow.
Okay. Speaking of sex, breaking news. Herman Cain suspending his campaign. But here's the real question. Should we care about what happens in politicians' bedrooms? I mean, let me give you some statistics, Jared. It's estimated that roughly 30 to 60% of all married individuals in the U.S.
Wait, say that number again?
It's roughly 30 to 60% of all married individuals in the U.S. will engage in infidelity at some point during their marriage. Some authorities observe infidelity is involved in 90% of first-time divorces. And a 1997 study found that more than half of the marriages that experience infidelity end in divorce. So my question is this. Since it is clearly very prevalent in our society... Does it matter? Should we care what politicians are doing in their bedroom?
It matters to the Republicans who have to pander to their far-right base in order to get the nomination. But I think to the rest of the world, no. I mean, look, why does Herman Cain get so much scrutiny and nobody seems to care what Newt Gingrich has done in his past? I think that's where the ridiculousness is.
Well, I think the problem is that Newt Gingrich has already been called out for it a long time ago.
Okay,
so there's a statute of limitations.
Maybe there is. People have a short memory.
That's it.
Despite
more than
the news bringing it up over and over again.
Let me ask you this: I don't care what politicians do. I would be a hypocrite. I mean, I didn't really care what Bill Clinton did. My problem comes with the lying part of it, not being honest about it.
Sure.
But the other thing is that I think about this: do politicians lie about this stuff because they know they have to? You know, maybe it's not a big deal to them because they're doing it, and I bet you a lot of them are.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if you have 50 to 60 to 70% of politicians doing that because it's a powerful thing.
Look at Anthony Weiner. If he had come clean immediately, he would still be in Congress right now.
Causing all sorts of a ruckus. So my question...
Instead, he said he dragged it out for 2 weeks, and then he's like, guess what? I was lying the whole time. Fuck it, he's done.
Yeah.
It's the lying part of it. If you
put it out there, you're honest about it, Can a Herman Cain sell some pizza and go on to be the Republican nominee for president?
Adam! No. Like, because there's enough people that do care about it.
Are they hypocrites, these people that say they care?
I mean, if you're telling me that over 50% of
marriages... I'm telling you. Right in my paper, I have it written down.
No, you're saying 30, not you, whatever is saying 30 to 60%. Yeah. So it could be, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I've always heard that 50% is a fairly average number, 40 to 50. So 60 might even be high. But.
I mean, people care about it to some level and extent. And, you know, they wind up lying about it to preserve their, you know, the chance that it will go away. I don't think it ever
goes
away.
When does it go away?
Probably never goes away. I mean, I would love to find an instance where it went away. You know, it doesn't. I mean,
30-40 years ago, you could. The press was
that's
less.
Because no one called them on it.
There was a gentleman's agreement. Yeah. That was just sort of an accepted part of the way we do business. Nowadays, any opportunity to take somebody down a notch, it's going to happen. They're going to dig it out.
Yeah. Well, stop fucking other people if you want to.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Like, I don't care, right? I don't care if people are doing that. But the argument that you shouldn't care about what people do in their private lives. You should care about their policy and all that stuff. It's like, okay, that's fine. But like, at what point do you draw that line?
Yeah, when does it intersect?
Right. It's like, I mean, this is a silly argument to make, but like, okay, well, if someone like drunkenly runs over someone else, do we not care about that also? I mean, we do, right?
Of course we do.
I realize one's a crime, infidelity probably is a crime in some states still.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, though.
Right. So it's like, the person is still the person, no matter when they do something and what they do, regardless of, you know, it's not just how they voted on things. So people are going to care about that stuff.
Sure.
A lot of people in
some, a lot, in a lot some of ways. It's timing. I think Herman Cain, I mean, let's be honest. He hasn't admitted it, but if he's suspending his campaign, he pretty much guarantees that he did have that affair. Had he had that years ago when nobody cared, and I don't think it would even matter now, but now that it's happening right here during the campaign, it's a problem.
What if he admits to this stuff when he starts his campaign? He puts it out there. Does that kill him right away, or is it something where he can bounce back from and actually be a legitimate candidate?
I mean, in this year's Republican.
In this year's, I think he recovers from it.
In this freaking sideshow we've got going on here.
Maybe. I mean,
anything's possible. Right. I mean, who'd ever thought Newt Gingrich would be a legitimate?
Donald Trump was a legitimate contender for, you know, a week.
Now the sexual harassment stuff is more troubling to me. I don't care.
You can't do
affair,
that stuff.
But if you're doing, if the sexual harassment stuff is actually true, then that's a bigger problem. You can't. That's more about how you treat people, not about, you know, what you do in your private life. I don't know. I mean, then, yeah. That is, policies are dumb.
I think that in modern politics, it has pretty much been proven time and time again that if you are in the midst of anything and cheating, any sort of sexual scandal comes out, you're done. You may be back in it.
Nuh-uh. What's his face from Louisiana? The Vitter had sex with prostitutes. He's still around.
You've always got to prove me wrong on the prostitutes.
It's
generally speaking, though, I think that you're going to be hurt from that.
You're going to be hurt from it, but there are a lot of Republicans who have proven to be quite resilient when it comes to that. And for whatever reason, Democrats get called on it more.
There you go.
Yep.
Politics,
I
folks.
Like it. Politics. I think that was robust.
Can anyone in the current field beat Obama next year?
Huntsman, maybe, but I think that
Huntsman's. You think he's going to have some giant spike?
No.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, Iowa is a month and a day away now, or something, right?
Yeah, it's there.
So I don't think there's enough time.
It's amazing how the cartoon characters have floated to the top of the Republican field.
Yep.
When
Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck,
there are legitimate people at the bottom who would give a good run to, you know, Huntsman is one. Heck, if Buddy Romer got some traction, I mean, he's campaigning on one issue, which is get the money out of politics. I even support that.
I agree with you. So let me ask you this, guys. Could this end up being a political season, or 2012, where Obama stays in the office and Republicans take control over the Senate?
Yeah.
And the House.
No. I mean, I think Democrats take control of Congress. I think people have given the Republicans a chance, and they've seen that they're not actually going to do anything about it. Anything. They're not going to do any work.
I don't think the House flips back.
That's just my prediction.
I just wonder if, you know, you have this rebellion against incumbents, you know, that ends up hurting the Democrats more than the Republicans at the end of the day.
I think the rebellion against incumbents is over. I think it already happened. I think the Republicans got the House, and I think at this point, like, people will be a little bit more likely to go, you know what, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Let's actually vote for people who will do something to help this country.
Yeah, but the Senate races are favor Republicans this year because of how many the Democrats have to defend.
Sure.
The money will be short, and you know they have a huge uphill battle in the House to be able to take that back. And I agree with you, Jared, that you know, I don't, this is not going to be 2010 all over again.
No.
You know, the Tea Party's dead. Like, yeah. they're gone. And you know, a lot of the people that were so crazy and gung ho about that have probably come back down and realized it's not really the way to go. Yeah. But
it's not all what it was chopped.
Yeah, but you know, that was kind of a an extra special year in as far as, you know, voting people out and new people coming in, and
that was like crazy blind rage.
Yeah,
and now we're past that point of crazy blind rage.
Right.
There's bigger issues. Yeah. Like realism here.
What will be interesting is, you know, in Wisconsin you'll have the recall of the governor there, so depending on who pushes more money into that state, you know, that one could flip from, you know, supposedly purplish to way blue again.
And I think he holds his governorship. Mm. That's what I think. But what do you want?
I think
people at the end of the day are probably going to surprise us less than you think. I think people will go back to what's comfortable, and it will be split. I don't know how that affects all
that's
the races.
That's comfortable? I don't see how split is comfortable.
I'm saying it's comfortable for who they vote for. Like, at the end of the day, you know, I think there should be changes, but I don't want those crazy Democrats running things, so I'm going to stick with the guy that I had. Doesn't matter if he's a tool or the same thing on the liberal side, which is unfortunate. That's what I think, but no one's asking me.
No.
Finally.
Moderator.
Yeah, just a moderator. Jared, we've had a lot of conversation about this, you and I and my wife as well. We'll bring Adam to the mix. Walking Dead, second season so far. Many have complained that it's been a slow season, but ratings have been very good. For example, 6.6 million tuned in for the mid-season 2 finale, and 7.3 tuned in for the season premiere. My question is this. Are nerds too complainy? And does the finale of this mid-season 2... redeem the plotting story that happened for the prior 6 episodes. Jared, I'll look at you first.
Nerds are too complaining. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that, but I think there are some legitimate complaints about the show's pacing and its writing and its characterization or lack of characterization in a lot of cases. I mean, why don't we just kill off T-Bone already? He's not doing anything.
It's crazy.
He's not in half the episodes.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't know. But I don't know. I felt like when I was watching a lot of the episodes, I was bored. Like, there just wasn't, and you know, there wasn't anything going on. And I'm okay with character building moments. I'm okay with conversations that have a point and maybe give some insight into people and motivations and stuff like that. I didn't feel like that there was enough of that going on. I just felt like there was a lot of kind of pointless discussions and things that didn't really enhance the story in any way. As far as the finale redeeming the Find Sophia plotline that threaded its way through the first half of the season, it certainly helped.
Yeah, it was a really powerful ending. Spoilers,
yeah,
by the
definitely.
Way.
I'm certainly not going to go and say, yep, it was completely worth the wait.
Did you see it, by the way, Adam? Are y'all caught up on The Walking Dead?
No.
Are you watching The Walking Dead?
No.
Okay,
all
good.
Right.
Okay,
all right. Well,
I guess this is a conversation
I've read
and me.
I've read whatever.
I'm surprised you don't watch this show.
I watched the first season. I'll get to this one eventually.
All right,
fair enough. So it was a great, powerful ending. I had read some stuff like immediately after, saying how it was that sort of thing, and I still felt like it was 45 minutes, or not 45 minutes, but whatever, 38 minutes of kind of boring.
Chitter
chatter, and then of the final 5-10 minutes was just like, whoa, okay, great. And it made me go, wow, that was great payoff. And then my second take was, God, we had to go through a lot of waiting and bullshit to get to this point.
But let me tell you something about if I compare and contrast the first and second season. And obviously this show is not built financially to have a giant zombie.
No.
Apocalypse all the time,
or to move locations every episode.
Yeah, we get that you know there are limitations built into it.
Sure.
But I always felt like in the first season that you know, sort of this slow burn where you didn't see the zombies, but you knew they were there, and you always felt like it could be, you know, a scene could be punctuated with something sort of freaky and scary.
Yeah.
And it usually happened once an episode. With this season, you know, I think that they mistake the slow burn, like the paranoia, because it just, it sort of goes away. You're like,
yeah,
you're waiting for it, and it, you don't get the payoff.
They sort of settle in, and yep, it, I can handle the slow burn if they're actually, you yep know, going about their lives
in danger,
in danger, preparing for things, making their defenses, whatever. They just set up camp on a yes farm and didn't really do much. They didn't set up a perimeter.
It's a,
they
it's
got
a,
one guy on top of a camper with a rifle. That's their only defense.
Yeah, it doesn't say, it doesn't ring true. And even in the finale, there was no danger. You know, you had a little bit where they captured the wandering walkers, but essentially it was you know, it was a shooting fish in a barrel, essentially. Which I think was a statement, and I absolutely appreciate that.
I mean, it was a great scene, but yeah, you're right. They were not in any real danger.
I mean, the thing I like about the comic book of The Walking Dead, and you've read that, so, you know, the farm, Herschel's farm, it is a fortified farm. I mean, they've got barbed wire around it. They are inside this compound for the most part, so if a walker walks up, they're going to get stuck in the fence, and they take care of them. In this one, it's anybody could walk up to it at any time. Which I'm assuming will happen in the second season. I think, you know, this this utopia is going to burn them at the end of the day. But I just, I love The Walking Dead. I like the show a lot. I like the characters. I don't have a problem with the acting. I accept the world that they exist in is not a fully realistic world that we have.
Yeah.
But there's a big but there. They're still, they still let too many things slide for the case of drama or convenience, which I think that they could work themselves out of if they just spent a little bit more time dealing with it. And that's my biggest problem with this
show. I just
show
think smarter writing.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Because it's like, okay, you go back to the episode where everyone's getting gun training, and they're just making a shit ton of noise with their guns and using up their ammo. And you would think, oh, well, that was a dumb thing, but now they're going to pay for it because I'm sure some walkers will hear that.
Yeah.
Nope. No problem.
In previous episodes, they talk all the time. Walkers are attracted by sound because they're clearly not really attracted and by blood because they're not bloodhounds.
that's Shane's big beef.
They are attracted by sound and visual. So you would think that if it sounds like there's some sort of military exercise going on, that might attract some of them.
Yeah. Maybe there just isn't any around, but... I don't
know. That's not the case though, because there clearly are some around, and there were scenes like where they, you know, they drive off a few miles down the road to a weird a suburbanite place.
Yeah, that confused me.
And which is once again, it's you're dealing with, okay, we've got limited budget, but it just doesn't make sense.
It was a little too close and too polished to be that close to a farm.
Sure.
And other farms. Apparently, there are other farms around too,
which we've been told are all burnt out or overrun. Yeah. So why is this one not overrun?
Yeah, I don't know.
To answer your question, though, Shane, about our nerds too complaining about it.
What we're doing right now. For a second.
But I mean, I would say fans, period, are too complaining. You know, like, sure. I bet you could talk to a Packers fan right now.
Oh, boy.
And find things that they would complain about this, you know, for this season.
Oh, I don't know about that. They're doing pretty well.
Here, let me give you an example. My wife does not care about comic books. She does not care about the Walking Dead comic book. She's not a genre person. Mm-hmm. She loves this show. She thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
Right.
So I gotta imagine that a good portion of the 6 million people that are watching it week to week are, you know, you're not getting 6 million fans of the book because it doesn't sell 6 million copies.
That book has sold like 250,000.
So if this is a lot of people who, you know, are watching the show because they are,
and they're liking it.
They like what they see.
But I bet if you ask her about Housewives, she'll complain about it because she's a fan of that.
I'm going to ask her about that when I get home.
Do you feel like maybe your wife's love of the show is a bit amplified because of some of the complaints and backlash that have been out there, and that she's like going to love it a little bit more just because she wants to defend it?
Yeah, I think she's fighting back a little bit, but I think from day one, even when The Walking Dead didn't get that much crap, and when I would point out things, I'd be like, I don't really like what they're doing here, she would tell me to get a life. So so I think that...
She's just not the type that's used to being critical of something and say, liking it, but still exposing its flaws.
Something like this, because I think that fans expect a certain level of something, and this show... You know, doesn't necessarily do that. But, you know, to be fair, the comic book doesn't either.
No, I mean, the comic book
has, like, you know, katana-wielding, you know, assassins. Like, where is this coming from? You're not going to find that in the real world either.
Right.
But, you know, maybe they just held a different standards. I don't know.
That was the crossover with Y for a book. you know, so I'm one thing I am actually watching this season, this year again, is The Wire again.
Oh, I'm four episodes in.
Mandy's never seen it, so I'm watching with
good
her.
Stuff.
And that is, I think, the perfect example of a show that does a slow burn. But when you go back and either rewatch it or, you know, at the end of a series of episodes and something happens, you realize a lot of stuff happened
sure.
in the episodes leading up to it that seemed, you know, that seemed dull or slow. In reality, a lot was going on, and the payoff just happens, you know, in, you know, not immediately following those things, but
that show feels real and calculated and smart, and people don't do dumb things in that show right.
well,
for the most part.
And the other cool thing about
they
that,
do dumb things, they pay the consequences.
But they do it like right. a human being probably would do it.
Yeah. Something I really like about that show is that they don't use sets. Everything's sure. real and in Baltimore there. And so that kind of makes it feel more real too about
yes.
you know, like how everything's going on and what's going on with it. So that's good. I didn't know you'd finally started.
Yeah, we're started, but we really need to keep going on that show. One last complaint about Walking Dead, Jared, and then we move on.
Yeah.
Nerd Roundtable. So they go back to the pharmacy the second time. How did that zombie get in the pharmacy? Wouldn't they have seen it the first time?
Did they close the door?
And why didn't the zombie go after them right away? That's the other thing that this show does, is that
boop, yeah.
scary zombie pop-up, going to get you.
Yeah.
We don't know it's there. Just thought I'd share, though.
Okay.
Anyway, so Nerd Roundtable is over, folks. We still have probably about a third of the show left.
Oh, my. So yeah, this is going to be a long one.
Let's wrap up this segment. We'll do a little music, and we'll come back with more Scope right at this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie. Hit it!
This band includes the great Luke Ski's brother, Michael, on drums. Here's Sleeping in the Aviary with Talking Out of Turn on the Scope.
And when I'm running late, it's you, and
Oh, I gotta do this. I forgot how to run the show.
Under the Scope. All right, Under the Scope, rocking on our 8-hour marathon show. We got news first. Hit it.
I know. You don't have to tell me to hit it. I know now. I'm distracted by my iPhone.
Scoop up in Neela.
News. Guys, I didn't do news.
What?
I just played Skyrim all morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
All right. I have 7 pages of news.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to go through all of
them. Come on.
You guys tell me what you're interested in. Okay. How about how the Senate wants the military to be able to lock you up without a trial?
I've been hearing about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out that yesterday the Senate, 93-7, passed the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. I think this is a biannual act that they have to renew, basically. And one part of it includes a provision that says a member of or part of Al-Qaeda or an associated force can be held in military custody without a trial until the end of hostilities authorized by the authorization for use of military force. And that will be never, right?
Sure.
That'll never end. And so when a couple law analysts have reviewed this, they've come with the conclusion that U.S. citizens are included in the grant of detention authority. So that passed 93-7 yesterday. And
because those people love America. 93 people in the Senate love America.
So it's weird, though, because most of the high-level defense people don't actually want this. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta opposes it. CIA Director David Petraeus also doesn't want this. Pretty much every security official has lined up against the Senate detention provisions, from Director of National Intelligence James Clapper to FBI Director Robert Mueller, who worries that they'll get in the way of FBI investigations of domestic terrorists. President Obama has already promised to veto the bill.
So why such ardent support for this?
I don't know. It seems weird, right?
Seems like surprise, like sneak out of nowhere.
I don't get it. And it's architected by Carl Levin, a Democratic senator from Michigan.
Weird.
He says the requirement to detain a person in military custody under the section does not extend to citizens of the United States. The bill would just let the government detain a citizen in military custody, not force it to do that.
Okay.
So, right? I don't get it. Al Franken said it denigrates the very foundations of this country. He still voted yes. So
that's whatever. An interesting double speak there, mm-hmm. huh? Mm-hmm. Talking out of two sides of your mouth, see?
How about another political thing here?
Oh boy.
Why not?
Let's just bring it down.
How do you guys feel about the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare? What's your
didn't go far enough.
Didn't go far enough.
How about that?
Do you feel like you haven't seen any?
At this point, I don't see how it's affected many people's lives.
Okay.
That's my take on it. I don't know if that's true, but that's sort of how I feel.
I would say every 18 to 25-year-old that still gets covered on their parents' insurance probably feels differently.
Okay, so that's
one thing. That went into effect last year.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yep. Probably the biggest part that no one's paid much attention to went into effect yesterday. Well, December 2nd. And it's a provision that requires insurance companies to spend 80 to 85%, depending on the size of the insurance company, 80 to 85% of the consumer's premium has to be spent on actual medical care for their payees rather than keeping it for profit. And depending on...
Oh, I like that.
Depending on which study you read or believe, the previous average for... health insurance companies was somewhere between 10 and 35%. So,
wow.
yeah. Most of the other amount of premiums went towards marketing, sales, profit. So, lots of stuff.
So, what's the word on the street? People happy about that?
Once people figure it out, they'll be happy about it, I think. Here's the big part, though. So
here's the rub.
I mean, I'm all for this, and Jared, this kind of is
directly... I don't think socialists who wanted healthcare for everyone.
And so,
public option.
So,
how dare you?
Well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
So the question then is, can private health insurance companies manage to make profit if they now are being forced to spend anywhere between 3 and 8 times more money on actual health care.
God, I'm excited for this.
The answer is probably no. So the parent companies of most of the health insurance companies have already started to get into other businesses because I guess the feeling is that within 4 to 8 years, they probably will have to fold up shop, which will eventually lead us to a single payer option or government run healthcare. So, or good, you know, for those of us that that actually want healthcare.
It's okay, when the Republicans take the presidency next year, they'll just repeal and replace that, right?
Yeah. With nothing.
Because it's so easy.
So we have that to look forward to for those of us that don't want to have to hear about how Europe and Canada are bad for non-real reasons.
Interesting. I like it.
Yeah. Let's see.
Digging deep into the...
Yeah. How about this? The company that runs Facebook's URL referral service, Serbl.org. Serbl.
Serbl.
Sounds about right. They have listed OccupyDC.org as a one of those malcontent
malcontents.
One of those, like a website that has possible malware on it.
Oh, really?
So now, if you post a link on Facebook that links to OccupyDC.org, Facebook has like an automated thing that says like this is a potentially dangerous link.
Really?
And so like if you go and you create a post right now with Occupy DC, Facebook puts a warning in there so people maybe don't click on it.
It's all conspiracy.
People are really upset about that.
You seem very frustrated.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I feel for those guys.
He feels for them.
Abstinence-only education does not lead to abstinent behavior, a University of Georgia large-scale study found.
But yeah, you're saying that kids are still going to have sex?
Not still, more so.
Are they having sex in
and unprotected
Black
sex
Widow costumes or in Catwoman costumes?
Well, they were asking for it then. Our analysis adds to the overwhelming evidence indicating that abstinence-only education does not reduce teen pregnancy.
Probably some liberal think tank coming up with that statistics.
It may even contribute to the high teen pregnancy rates in the U.S. compared to other industrialized countries. It is lower than it has, like, it's ever since, like, 91 or something, it's been going down.
Ever since we got into the game.
Yeah.
We really...
Girls are like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
This is the best thing, but after digging more, it probably won't matter. But Donald Trump will moderate a Republican debate on December 27th.
Oh, I gotta see that.
Now, it's going to be on cable network ION Television. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
I think we have that.
You do, but it's not a real network. Yeah. I doubt any actual candidates will appear. Buddy Romer will probably be there.
Sure. Ron Paul will be there to scream it.
Maybe.
At what point do the candidates just say, enough with the debates already? These aren't getting us anyway. I mean, Rick Perry's already said he doesn't need to be in them.
Well, I think a lot of people have said that.
Yeah. He's done more harm than good with those things.
Let's see. Questlove is getting a bunch of death threats on Twitter from Michelle Bachmann fans.
What do you think of that? We never really brought that up. Jared.
I think it was in poor taste.
I do too.
I don't think it was funny though.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was in very poor taste. I think I actually think that the band probably should be fired for that. I do. Sorry. I hate Michelle Bachmann, but that sort of lowers the discourse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If Jimmy Fallon knew about it, I probably would have big issues with that as well.
All right.
That's what I think.
Fair enough.
And she deserves it.
Whoa. But. Baby names. You guys ready for a story? Should I skip this?
Siri.
Baby Aiden. Names.
Aiden, yes, number one boy's name, 7th year in a row.
Wow.
Because women really liked Sex in the City.
I think that has to be it.
Bella is a rising baby name.
Oh, no.
As well. Really?
Yep.
Jacob is the number 5 boy's name. Edward is nowhere on the list. Edward's like a nerd name anyway.
Yes.
It is.
It's got a W in it. What the hell?
But
where does Skyrim fit into that?
Skyrim is the name of the land.
Baby
not
Skyrim.
The...
It doesn't matter. Baby Skyrim could work.
A few years ago, I remember there was a story about how Sky with 2 Y's was the number 50. That's Sky Vodka is.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. How dare they?
I'm naming my kid Crystal Head.
I'm naming my kid Crystal Meth.
I'm naming my kid Dubstep.
Skrillex.
Wow.
Okay, how about we talk about video games?
Please.
EA, Electronic Arts.
Is that what that stands for?
Yep. Relaunches Tetris on iOS. They had pulled Tetris from the App Store.
They had enough of it.
Well, no, they bought the rights to it.
Oh, I see.
It had been published by a different company. So they pulled it like a year ago or something. It now comes with, it's 99 cents to buy the app.
Oh, that's a bargain, isn't
it? And $30 a year. What the fuck is that about?
Yeah, give me the full story on that.
EA launched. I love that you want the full story on this, but
what does that have to do with the healthcare too? That's what I want to know. There's got to be a connection
for the
Obamacare
Senate wanting to detain us. You're like, just give me the high level details.
I don't know. I'm not Al Qaeda. What do you want?
Well, I could
but
say
if
you
they
are.
Suspect you are. Yeah. No.
If you see something, say something, Shane.
That's the story of my life.
EA has launched a new version of Tetris for iOS. The new iteration packs in new features, including a power-up laden galaxy mode and a Marathon 1 touch mode, and has been specially designed for touchscreen gameplay. Perhaps the most interesting addition is the ability to subscribe to the T Club, which offers exclusive access to new mobile challenges and content.
Thanks, Adam, for the news.
Users
and back to you, Jared.
Can snag a one-month membership for $2.99, or if you really like paying for Tetris,
ooh,
you can drop $30 for a full year.
That sounds lame. Do they give you special blocks?
Well, yeah, wouldn't that be crazy? Like, you get more the straight lines.
We'll give you 30% more straight blocks, Jared.
I picked up Sims Medieval for free yesterday.
Medieval? Did they swing with giant maces? And
I don't know. I haven't played it yet. It was free. I was like, I'll buy that.
He picked it up.
For Xbox or for computer?
iOS.
Oh. Jared's in the iOS world. He's got App Cities.
No, they made a Sims for that.
It was free.
Yesterday. Siri, where can we get Sims?
I bought Infinity Blade
I've never
2.
Played Sims before.
I got Infinity Blade 1. I didn't like it that
great.
Much. I didn't like it one.
I like
I'm
it.
Pretty sure my phone can't handle it. So.
My phone is crying.
That means it's working.
Skyrim sold a lot of copies.
Back to your Skyrim
and
business.
It's not doing as well as like Modern Warfare 3.
No,
though, is it?
Not even close.
But Jared, what's the porno name of Skyrim, the video game?
What?
If there was a porno version of Skyrim, what would it be called?
Skyrim Job.
Of course. There we go.
Okay.
Got to be faster.
Sorry.
That's wonderful.
And I was like, how can I make this movie?
All right.
I think they just call it Skyrim, a XXX parody.
I like that, too.
Yeah. That's how everything
That's the
is
easiest
now.
One. Yeah. Now it's like Star Trek, a XXX parody. You can't sue me because you can't copyright titles.
The Scope, a XXX parody.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Sausage Fest.
Let's see. So it sold 3.4 million copies in the first week.
Oof.
Which is a lot, especially for a video game, especially for a non-Madden and non- Modern Warfare.
Why don't you crunch the numbers there? 6.3 million.
6.3.
Or how many copies of it?
3.4
million. Four.
They say
times 60.
That's
How much is that?
There's a lot of special edition ones, and then that doesn't include Steam or digital sales.
A lot.
They say 450 million in sales from just the launch.
Are those consoles or
that's both? I think. I don't know. Who cares? Steam reported a record for concurrent players online playing a single offline game at $230,000. 230,000 people playing Skyrim at the same time, which is a lot for PC. No one buys PC games anymore.
No, they steal them.
But yes, for comparison, Modern Warfare 3 sold 400 million copies in 24 hours. So
400 million copies?
$400 million.
That's a lot of copies, sure.
That would be the biggest selling game of all time.
That'd be the biggest selling anything of all time, I think. Minecraft is now an official game.
Yeah!
Minecraft 1.0.
Yep.
The creator...
I've only been playing it for a year, but now it's official.
We can finally confirm
how much
that
did you
Jared
pay
has
it?
Been playing.
Did you get in that dollar
I got
deal?
It. I got it. It was like $15 or something.
Okay.
Like that. I don't know. Like, I bought it right at the end of alpha, right before I was going to beta, because I wanted the guarantee that I would get all updates in the future for free.
You still playing it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Not all the time, but here and there I'll get the bug to play and like, oh, I want to build this. Like right now I'm thinking about building a giant Christmas tree in my world, so think about that.
Fun.
Notch, the creator of the game, has quit to go work on something else.
I saw that.
That's not quite true. He's still with the company. Ooh. He's
quit the project.
Come on.
He's working
let Jared explain.
He didn't quit the project either. He promoted Jens to lead developer, and he will still be working occasionally on Minecraft.
Jens Berg.
And look how he just
Jens, motherfucker.
Jens. Look how Adam just completely, he totally Fox News you. You gave the right thing, and then he just kept talking.
What else do I know about Minecraft? I know all of it.
That's all. That's good. They're being sued.
Are there actual mines in it?
But Wait. I have a tie-in here.
Yes.
To
a Minecraft XXX parody?
Skyrim. Scrolls is another game that the company is working on.
Yep.
It's been the subject of a lawsuit involving the name with ZeniMax Media, that's who owns Bethesda, who makes Skyrim, over the Elder Scrolls franchise.
Now that's just like a lot of nerd talk.
They say it's confusing. It was funny, Notch had offered to settle the lawsuit with a Quake 3 match, and whoever wins keeps the name.
And how did that go?
And they didn't accept the offer.
They did not. It's a very sporting offer.
Now, to be, it's not Bethesda that's suing them. It's their parent company that's suing them.
ZeniMax Media also owns id. That's where the
or as I call it, ID.
Came from.
I get it. So, Jared, I think.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that it for news?
Yes.
That's it for news, Jared.
Yep. I mean, that's it. That was a lot of work.
That was a lot.
You did a good job, Adam.
Thank you.
You're on fire.
Good job here. Have a little of this. Take that home with you.
All right.
What's up next, Shane?
So that's the end of news. I think coming up, we have reviews. All right. We are back. Or we're just starting with the reviews this time around. And we'll be reviewing the latest, I guess, family-friendly film, The Muppets. And I'm pretty excited about this because we have a special guest. Now, our special guest that I'll be introducing shortly, everybody knows his love of amusement park porn. But nobody really knew that this guy loved the Muppets. I was very excited to find that out. And he volunteered his time and his opinions for our show. And, of course, I'm talking about the great Luke Ski, funny music man extraordinaire. Luke Ski, you're calling. You're calling on the line from the Chicagoland area. Luke, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be a part of the roundtable extravaganza.
Extravaganza. I like that. So, Adam, I'm sort of walking on your territory here. Normally you give all the review stuff, so why don't you take over from here?
Oh, you handed me this, didn't you?
I did hand you this. Okay. His notes are not ready, Luke, unlike yours.
There you go. That was quick.
So
professional show.
Yes. We're very on top of things.
Well,
go ahead.
If anyone at home knew how we were doing this today, they would be amazed. So yeah, today we're reviewing The Muppets, the first Muppets theatrical release in 12 years, as well as the first Disney-produced Muppets film since 1996's Muppet Treasure Island. I didn't see, did you guys, anyone else here see that?
Luke saw it, I'm sure.
I have.
I think the last one of these Henson workshop type movies I saw was the one where Big Bird runs away from home, whatever that one was called.
Big Bird. Follow that bird.
Follow that bird.
Yes. Sesame Street presents Follow That Bird.
Oh. We're getting technical now.
In the film, Walter, the world's biggest Muppet fan, and his brother, Gary, played by Jason Segel, and girlfriend Mary, played by Amy Adams, must raise $10 million to save the Muppet Theater from Tex Richmond, played by Chris Cooper, a businessman who plans to demolish the puppet theater to drill for oil. The film was directed by James Bobin, written by Siegel and Nicholas Stoller, and features Brett McKenzie from Flight of the Conchords as the musical supervisor. Our first clip from The Muppets is perfect for podcasting. It's a montage of Kermit, Walter, Gary, Mary, and Kermit's 1980s robot and the 1980s robot driver taking a road trip to convince all the other Muppets to get back together. For you, that means a lot of sound effects, AC/DC, of course, in a Muppets movie, and a bit of good-natured mayhem. Let's take a listen.
May I suggest we save time and pick up the rest of the Muppets using a montage?
Oh, great idea, 80s robot.
I guess we're in.
Welcome to this week's edition of Everything Stinks.
Bye, Lisa. Off to the TED conference. 3, 2, 1.
Think we should have rented a bigger car?
I'm sure if you're listening to that, you're having a really good time trying to match the non-original voices with the Muppets that they're now voicing. So our second clip features the most well-known Muppets, Miss Piggy and Kermit. In this scene, Kermit the Frog, or Mr. the Frog, if you are in the formal version of his name. It's a really good notes, by the way.
Thank you.
Mr. the Frog.
needs some rehearsal time. with his one true love. But in true swine fashion, Piggy plays hard to get. Is that true swine fashion?
I think it is.
Here's the clip.
Miss Piggy, we're all out front practicing our acts, and it seems that everybody expects you and I to do a duet. So.
Oh, that's so lovely, but I'm afraid I can't. No, you see, I'm already doing a duet with my new dance partner.
Hola. Okay, come on, rehearsing. Let's go. We gotta break it up.
Excuse us?
Excuse us?
Let's try that lift again, shall we?
Wait, lift again. Okay, on my count this time, okay? In 3, 2, 1...
I don't know if anyone else caught that, but that was social commentary on Mexicans taking our jobs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that in the notes or was that an ad?
That was me. That was okay. All me. Yeah.
He did not make my...
The Muppets has been a box office and critical success so far, raking in $41.5 million in just 5 days and getting high marks on both Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes. You can catch The Muppets in theaters across the country. Let's get on with the reviews.
Well, Adam really did a great job on that read, Jared.
Not nary a stumble.
Not nary a stumble. So let's throw this out to our Chicagoland commentarist, the great Luke Ski. Commentarist, Fumpy Music guy, Luke Ski, you know all the Muppets by heart. Tell us about this movie.
Yes. Well, let me start off by saying that within the first 48 hours of the film's release, I had seen it 3 times.
Is that some sort of OCD thing? Right.
You hated it that much.
Yeah, I saw it midnight when it came out on Tuesday. I saw it again Wednesday afternoon. Then I saw it Thursday night with my family on Thanksgiving. So,
and you would have seen it again, but you're banned from the theater for general creepiness.
Wow.
Actually, I saw it again yesterday just to prepare for this review. Wow. So,
money well spent.
Anyway, so overall, yeah, I obviously liked the movie. It's one of those situations where they would really have to, you know, screw things up big time for me not to have liked this movie, especially considering all of the comedic talent involved, in current Hollywood. I have a few bullet points of positive things to say and some criticisms. Should I just go dive right into that?
Please do, sir. Please do.
All right. First of all, I wasn't sure going into it if I was going to like the new character, Walter, and I do, and the most basic reason is Walter is me. this whole, I grew up watching the Muppets, and I love them, and I'm the biggest fan of them, and, you know, I want to be part of their show. It's like, yeah. I mean, even my ex-wife Stephanie called me and said, yeah, Walter is you.
Walter, I'm sure he was intentionally portrayed that way to draw in people like you who are just lifelong Muppets fans.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, so some people, friends of mine online, have called Walter kind of a Mary Sue character, and I suppose they have a point, but, you know, I still liked him, and I thought it was great. And the clip you heard earlier, the character is actually named 80s Robot. And 80s Robot is awesome. just because they basically created this Muppet to look like a robot created in the 1980s, complete with, like, the, you know, kind of faded to yellow plastic exterior and, you know, robotically, you know, spouting 80s phrases and stuff like that. So I thought that was a really great gag and character.
You probably could buy that same robot from the JCPenney's catalog in 1982. You know, it's one of those where the arms are set up where you could put a tray on it and then program it to scuttle across your floor.
Yeah.
Probably seen on Punky Brewster.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve Whitmire, who's been portraying Kermit since 1990, I think did an excellent job performing Kermit. And also Eric Jacobson, who has been performing all of Frank Oz's roles since about, 2001. So for the past decade, Frank Oz hasn't been performing Miss Piggy or Fozzie or Sam the Eagle or Animal, and Eric Jacobson took over, and he does such a great job that I couldn't even figure out on my own when he took over. I had to go research it to pinpoint when the switch happened.
Luke, let me interrupt you real fast. You mentioned Frank Oz. What's this guy's beef with this movie? I mean, there's rumblings and sort of on the record complaints by him that they didn't treat the characters with respect. I saw the movie. Yeah, I didn't really see it. So what is this, just sour grapes, as they say?
I think it's kind of a sour grapes thing. I mean, because, like I said, Oz hasn't really been involved with the Muppets since 2001. The only real things I looked into, or the only thing, I read the Entertainment Weekly article about the Muppets movie, and that's where I found out that, you know, Frank Oz had a problem with it and felt that they weren't being respectful of the characters. And, you know, looking at that movie, it's like this big, gigantic, you know, love letter to the classic Muppet show, you know, and cast. So I don't, you know, I have this feeling that maybe Frank Oz read the script up until the point they meet Fozzie Bear at the casino and kind of said, like, all right, that's it. I'm not reading the rest of this, you know, or something. I don't know.
I also read Luke that the guy that played Kermit also was complaining about the film and actually considered not even putting his name in the credits.
That's really surprising. I mean, I have no idea what's up with that. I kind of didn't want to look into it because I didn't want to get bummed out by finding out, you know, that people, you know, were, you know, I don't see what the problem was because, you know, like I said, I felt the movie was being respectful. I mean, other puppeteers like Dave Goles, who does Gonzo and Bunsen, and, you know, he's from the original cast.
He's great at fronting the Foo Fighters as well.
Yeah. So,
it's strange because didn't that guy that played Kermit, didn't he appear on SNL with Jason?
I mean, for all the tons of appearances the Muppets have been doing to promote this film, it's been Steve Whitmire. So it's like, you know, if he had a problem with it at some point, he obviously must have gotten over it, you know, either that or he's, I don't know. It's hard seeing all the performances and appearances they've been doing. It's hard for me to think that he's gritting his teeth and just getting through it because he's unhappy. I mean,
sure.
So, I mean, yeah. Anyway. Some quick criticisms on it. Like I said, I think Steve Whitmire did a great performance as Kermit, but I think the writing for Kermit was, I've never seen Kermit with such little backbone, you know, ever in his career. Insert amphibian joke here. It's just kind of like he started off being sad Kermit and then didn't really rise much out of that, you know, throughout the movie. I mean, usually at some point Kermit kind of gets his act together and steps up and, you know, acts like the leader he always has been, and I don't know. So, I did, you know, as a hardcore Muppet fan, it's like the plot of the movie is basically the first half of the Blues Brothers followed by the second half of UHF, which is, you know, the first half is we got to get the band back together, and the second half is we have to raise money to save the station/theater, whatever. And the thing that kind of bugs me about that is the fact that not only has that been done before, it's been done before by the Muppets themselves. In the 2002 made-for-TV movie, It's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas Movie, where it's a big It's a Wonderful Life parody, where the Muppets in their theater are raising money to buy the theater from the banker, you know, the evil banker played by Joan Cusack. So it's like they already did this in 2002. You know, it kind of makes me wonder if Jason Segel has seen that movie, and, he, you know, if he hasn't, he should have. But, you know, anyway, this is just, you know, me being a gripey, nitpicky fanboy, but...
Who's seen the film four times?
Yes. And the other nitpicky thing, and I'll end on this one, is just that the plot of the movie ostensibly retcons the entire history of the Muppets past 1984. The only post-1984 things you see in it is the cameo appearance from Pepe, which we heard in the clip, and the existence of Bubbo the Bear. And that's about it. It's like, you know, for us fans that have been hanging in there, you know, for the past, you know, 27 years, you know, catching, you know, keeping up with everything they've been up to, it just kind of felt like, oh, all that, you know, didn't really matter. You know, none of those new characters that were invented matter. We didn't even see any of them off in the background in, like, the big group scenes. You know, Rizzo the Rat didn't even get a line in the movie. I mean, I don't know. Anyway. Me being a nitpicky fanboy again, but overall, I really liked it, and, you know, once again, nitpicky fanboy stuff is the only complaints I could possibly make about this.
Well, let me jump in, and Adam can as well. I, for one, am happy they didn't feature the rat. I don't like the shrimp. I'm definitely a more of a classic Muppets guy, so those characters I'm fine with not being in there. My favorite part of this movie, or just the general thing, and Adam, correct me if I'm wrong here, is the fact that half the time you're watching it kind of unfold and you're listening to the music, and the music seems like it could have been out of Flight of the Conchords in a weird sort of way. Like, I would get these little flashes of, like, hey, this is something that Britt could have been singing on the show. And I really appreciated that sense of zaniness, especially because The Muppets was played so straight for the most part. I mean, it's earnest and happy, and they don't really get into sarcasm or cynicism or any sort of hipster type behavior. It's very, very straight ahead Muppets. So you get a little bit of this subversiveness, weirdness, and I think that appeals to the adults out there a little bit more than the straight ahead Muppet stuff, which was good, by the way. Mm-hmm. My daughter, I saw it with my daughter. She's almost 7. I think we probably enjoyed it more than her. But I have to think that the older kids get, the more they can kind of dig into it. Younger kids may not like it. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Did she watch Sesame Street?
No, she never really liked Sesame Street, so believe it or not. My biggest quibble with this film, believe it or not, is when you talk about the plot, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I thought that they could have done a better job getting a host for the telethon, especially because the guy that they got was already featured earlier in the movie. Right. So I was expecting them to get somebody like a Steve Martin or maybe somebody that had been on The Muppet Show before, and instead they kind of get a standard go-to guy.
Right.
Who, but I mean, it makes sense, but yeah. I was hoping they could get maybe pull somebody big from the past that they could kidnap and show up for.
Sure. I mean, I think the point of that, though, is like just how far, you know, the Muppets have fallen out of the spotlight.
Sure.
That even Steve Martin, you know,
yeah.
who...
But yeah, they featured a picture of him on the wall, you know, like when they're going back over the past Muppet stuff. I thought that could have been done, but what are you going to do?
Sure.
And the other thing that I'll bring this up and then I'll let Adam take over. Some complaints of this movie really stems from the fact that you've got this balance between a Muppet story and a human story.
That's every Muppet movie, though.
And a lot of people complain that it's too much human stuff. It's not a Muppet movie because there's not enough Kermit, there's not enough Miss Piggy. I, for one, actually like the balance, and I like the humans in it, and I like their story. I'm curious what Adam has to say about that.
I mean, I felt like the two stories were less intertwined, maybe, than in other Muppet movies.
Sure.
Like, there's, you know, several instances where it's just Mary and whatever Jason Segel's character's name is off. Yeah, thanks. And there's no Muppets around, or at least one extended area of it. But whatever. I hadn't read anything negative about this, just because I haven't read anything.
You don't
about
read.
The movie,
you don't right? read.
I can't. So I just went in and I saw it. Like, I think the last thing I read about this movie was in 2007 or 8 when Jason Segel was saying how he was writing the script. There was like an Entertainment Weekly article on
sure.
And
everyone was like, oh yeah, that'll never happen.
Exactly, yeah. Because I guess nothing had been confirmed at that point. It was like in How I Met Your Mother article, and he was, you know, they talked about that. And
I was like, that'd be cool. Like, I love puppets.
Right. And I mean, Walter is clearly him, right? I mean, it's, you know, he's clearly every Muppets fan, but you know, I assume Jason Segel wrote him to be him. I really like the you know, looking at Jason Segel from what's the movie? Forgetting Sarah Marshall, swinging his dick around in a circle, and then contrast that with a kids' movie. That's always funny.
Yeah, he can do it all, and he does a killer Andre the Giant imitation.
Yes. Yes.
but in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he writes a puppet musical about Dracula.
Yeah, okay. That's I forgot.
He also has that scene where they show a flashback of him sitting at the piano playing the Muppet Show theme and singing along and crying at the same time, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. And my favorite, so it's a movie filled with cameos. My favorite cameo was Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
As the
Speaking
drummer,
of Dave Grohl.
Yeah, as the drummer for the Muppets. Filling in for Animal.
My favorite cameo was Jim Parsons.
That was a good cameo as well.
Yes. I mean, everyone doing the telethon thing was good, too.
Yeah, worked out.
Yep.
So before we give this a score, Luke has graciously volunteered to sing a Movin' Right Along from the original Muppet movie. Go ahead, Luke.
Moving right along, we're surely birds of a feather. We're in this together, and we know where we're going.
He's doing all the voices. Luke, you are a true gentleman. There's no question about it. Let's see if you're a gentleman after we give this a Scope score. Hit it, Jared.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
So that is the only score that we give out on the Scope. 3 stars. Actually, I think that's pretty fair. I think it's a fair score. Luke, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for sure. for showing up, listening in. Any final words before you get back to earn a little scratch there for the old pocketbook?
Sure. I was thinking about what my scope score would have been, and I was debating between 3 to 3.5 stars. So I agree with your assessment.
Thank you very much, sir.
And if there are any super hardcore Muppet fans like me listening to this and would like to hear me talk literally for almost 4 hours about the history of the Muppets while playing about 90 minutes of Muppet music, go check out episode 53 of my podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. It's at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com, episode 53, Muppets Special. Check it out.
Luke, I want to compliment you on that episode. I didn't really have a whole lot of intention of listening to it because I knew it was going to be, you know, you warned us. I listened to the first hour and you warned us it was going to be this super long Muppet stuff and we should skip it. But I didn't have much else to listen to that day, and I actually got engrossed, and I was supremely impressed with your encyclopedic Muppets knowledge.
It's like the Schindler's List of Muppet podcasting. It's just
wow.
You can't turn your head away. It's so good.
So a fine job. If there are any Muppet fans out there who are interested in the history and the chronology of things, and you have 4 hours to spare, I recommend it.
serious dedication.
So one thing I discovered working on that episode is that all of those classic LPs from the Sesame Street era, like, those are all on iTunes.
Wow.
I didn't know that. So yeah. I was happy to find Grover doing Near and Far on iTunes for 99 cents and stuff like that. So
I remember having the Muppet Movie soundtrack and the big gatefold cover. That was pretty cool.
I had Sesame Street Fever when I was a youngster. I had that one.
Awesome.
I did.
I think they have a vaccine for that.
Thanks again for having me on the show, guys.
Thank you very much, Luke. We'll talk to you soon. Great appearance. So Luke Ski, you heard him. He plugged away. Catch him wherever you can. Later, Luke.
Later.
All right, so reviews are over. It's time for the last segment, coming soon. With our new and improved dubstep musical interlude there.
I was going to say I need to do a dubstep remix of the coming soon music.
Adam.
I need to have a little...
I agree. Hmm? Adam, please.
Yeah. Oh.
Please.
Yes. Okay.
Stop scratching your beard.
Sorry.
Start reading the coming soon items.
Music. December 6th.
Yes.
Amy Winehouse has an album.
Yes.
And
Rarities and B-sides.
Memoriam.
Yeah, whatever's left in the bottom of the barrel. Release it.
I'm surprised they waited this long.
I don't know if this
they probably had to finish up some stuff.
Is this the CD? Is this the music of the new stuff she was recording, or is this old stuff that they haven't?
It's called Lioness Hidden Treasures.
I think it's a mix of old stuff and stuff she was working on at the time of
release. Okay. Okay.
Chevelle has an album. Don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a band.
The name seems familiar. I don't know if I've ever.
Isn't that a car?
Chevy Chevelle.
And the Chevette is also a car. A lot of cars. A lot of car reference.
You heard of the Ford Focus?
I have.
Fiat. Gary Newman has an album coming
Speaking out. Of cars.
Right?
I mean, what a tie-in.
Wow. It's really good. Korn. Those guys are still around.
With a K.
Yeah. Korn with K.
Backwards
I hear K. They have some dubstep influences on the new
a lot
album.
Of dubstep.
Excellent.
excellent.
T-Pain.
Excellent.
Or T-Pain.
T-Pain.
Who are you picking up the T-Pain
like
microphone?
Is that like T-Pow?
Not even close.
Did you know that T-Pain is a big believer in evolution?
Oh, shit. I can buy the T-Pain app now.
Yes, you can.
Oh, boy.
So here's the thing. Yeah. Last time I checked, which was right when I got this phone, they had taken the auto-tune mechanism out of that because I think they were getting sued.
By the company that owns auto-tune?
Yes.
Screw them.
So like now it's like...
Antares, I think, is the company?
Like Chipmunk. And like they took out the one reason to get that out.
All right, there's no point then.
No, you're done.
Fuck
you're
T-Pain. I may be wrong. Don't quote me on
you
that.
You may be crazy.
Also, the Black Keys have an album coming out.
They
is
do.
This a new album?
New album.
Those and guys are just prolific.
They'll be performing on Saturday Night Live this past weekend.
Yeah, they will have performed.
Oh, it's tonight?
Yeah.
For us.
For us.
December 13th, Monica from Friends has an album.
She's a backup singer, Miss Janana Lavong.
Movies, December 9th, The Sitter.
Yep, Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, last fat movie for Jonah Hill.
So it's his last funny movie, Jared.
Yep. You guys watch that Alan Gregory?
No.
I watched the first episode. Not
so hot.
I think Jonah Hill can continue to be funny. Sorry.
I agree with you.
I'm going against the grain on that one.
Who says he can't?
Everyone.
Oh, I think he's funny.
People who don't like Jonah Hill.
Oh, a lot of people don't like Jonah Hill. I don't know why. Also,
a guy whose name rhymes with Ron Rapes.
Wow. That is an unfortunate rhyming.
New Year's Eve. This is a Gary Marshall destroying holidays.
Yes.
Trope.
One holiday at a time.
Yeah. This, New Year's Eve deserves to be taken down a notch, yep. Just like Valentine's Day did.
Well, he is so. Featuring Ryan Seacrest in it, so.
All right. Is this Ryan Seacrest acting or Ryan Seacrest?
It's Ryan
as...
Seacrest acting as himself.
Okay. December 16th, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows.
I have no desire to see that movie.
I didn't really like the first one.
I never
one.
Saw the
I
first one.
I never saw the first one either.
And Alvin and the Chipmunks, the third.
Chipwrecked! My daughter cannot wait to see this movie.
It's not on here, but the following week, like a billion things come out, like the Christmas
sure.
week. And
hopefully we'll have a show before
when
then.
When does Girl with the Dragon Tattoo come out?
That Christmas? That week.
Christmas okay. Day, isn't
yeah.
it?
I really want to see the Swedish one first before I see that one.
You're not even be in the state, Jared. We can't even see it with you.
So here's one thing like I just want to throw out there. Day. For Mission Impossible, if you want to see the 6-minute Batman prologue,
mm-hmm.
it's like featuring Bane, it's attached to the beginning of Mission Impossible.
Okay.
But only Mission Impossibles that are playing at the big IMAX screens.
Wow.
The real IMAX
or, yeah.
screens.
Well, not really, because the Southdale and Rosedale ones both qualify.
Oh, okay.
It might be like the aspect ratio or something of the screens.
I don't care about that thing. I do want to see the Mission Impossible, though.
Okay. Do you?
Yes.
I've only seen two of them.
Which ones?
First, and the second one.
You never saw the J.J. Abrams-directed third one?
Never saw
I swear you were there with us.
I was not there with
Must
you.
Must have been Earl, then.
Must have been.
It was DVDs. Decent.
And I think the new one looks pretty cool.
I liked it.
All right.
Brad Bird
calm down.
It. Yeah. Incredibles.
Brad Bird's first live-action movie. Is that true? I don't know. I might have made that
He directed
up.
Incredibles and Iron Giant prior to that. So.
Yeah.
Kaboom.
Iron Giant, one of my favorite animated movies of all time. Maybe my favorite.
Wow. Hipster.
DVDs, December 6th, The Big Love, Season 5, Captain Power, the complete series.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Remember Captain Power, Jared?
No.
Captain Power had the toy...
Not Captain Planet.
No, had the toy line where you could shoot the... They had, like, spaceships, and you could shoot them at the show, yep. and you could interact.
Oh, sure.
And it was one of the first shows that used, like, they had a live-action yeah. computer-generated
Why would
character.
You want to watch this without the toys to interact with?
That's a great question. I don't
And it doesn't work on LCD TVs and plasma.
Oh, right. man.
You don't have the tube to
Right,
because
it was probably in the vertical interval.
Yeah.
As a station.
Oh, my God. My head is about to explode. I don't know
it's
what that
a,
means.
It's a space between the scan line and a CRT.
Okay. Question.
Yes.
Best Captain cartoon. Captain Planet, Captain Power, or Captain N?
Captain N.
Yeah.
I never liked Captain Planet.
I never liked any of
the
them.
Russian girl.
I'm with you.
Cowboys and Aliens.
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see it too.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
I would not like to see
Aubrey would like to see that.
The Simpsons Season 14.
Okay.
You've already seen it.
I have seen it.
Yep.
December 13th, Family Guy Volume 9. Probably means
yeah,
season 9.
It's like, no, they don't like do. I don't think they do full seasons for Family Guy. I think they break them in half, but maybe
to
I'm
make
wrong.
More money.
Fright Night, Kung Fu Panda 2, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I'd like to see that. That movie's supposed to be pretty good.
Yes. The Planet of the Apes one, yeah.
Vigigames, December 4th. Mario Kart 7. That was like kind of a Mario-ish laugh that you just had there, Jared. The Adventures of Tintin, Just Dance 3, and Oregon Trail.
Oregon
Booyah.
Trail.
You only have 3DS Smack and Wii them. Listed here. I'm going to point out, it comes out for iOS, too.
Okay.
Wow.
I never list those, but I might have to.
Buy that.
December 11th.
Shane, you should be looking at iOS
December
games,
11th.
Because we all have iOS machines.
We do. Video games fall off the face of the earth
yes,
after that.
Yes.
There's literally nothing.
Yeah. Last year, Sony released something on like December 23rd, and people were just like, what? Why? I guess last minute.
Were they amazed, or were they
I mean, it didn't sell. So anyway, the only thing you have listed here is DLC for Gears of War and Assassin's Creed.
That's it.
It's
fair. If the game isn't out,
tough
you're
shit.
Out of luck. So there we go. Coming soon is OVA.
Yeah. Did I do something?
Wrap it up.
Okay.
Under the scope.
All right, Jared.
Yeah. You guys are stretching out over there. It's like
yeah.
it's has it been a long show? I don't know.
I think it might have been.
I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be a 2-hour show. Maybe not. We'll see how I get. I got some comments, Strange.
All right, hit him.
First one is from Cyrus. He says, another great episode.
Of course.
I always love it when you can get Adam involved, and Al is just the sweet cherry on top. Keep it scoping. Yep.
That was
is that a sexual thing?
That was Al's nickname in high school.
Sweet cherry,
sweet
O-top.
Sweet cherry, oh my. So, yeah, compliment. That was in our last episode, released back in October.
It released in 09.
Yeah.
Remember when we were dressed up in our Halloween costumes that night?
Oh, it was a good one.
Yeah. When we recorded that episode?
I do remember that. Fondly.
I was dressed as the Fonz, which is funny.
And Jared was dressed as Ralph Melf.
Yeah.
And I was dressed as Joni.
Yes, you were. That's my Ralph Melf. Anyway, hey.
That's your Ralph Melf?
Terrible.
I think you're the only guy on the planet that's ever done a Ralph Melf of it.
I'm thinking Ralph from The Muppets. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm like, that's not, Ralph Melf is sort of a nerdy sounding dude.
I do not have a repertoire of Happy Days impressions. I'm sorry.
Well, something to work on before next episode.
I just don't. I can maybe do a Tom Bosley if I'm drunk, but that's about it. Those Quanta writes, true story, possible Oscars, Talk Nerdy to Me is the only song I have on my iPhone. I purchased it to play before D&D the day after our show together. Great set, and thanks again for playing. I did not realize that you and Adam were roommates at one point.
Yes.
That came as a surprise. I knew you knew him, but I did not realize you knew him.
Yes, both of our ex-girlfriends lived two blocks away on Adams Street.
Wow. Fancy.
And so in their own place.
So he was saying how you guys used to always go down to Club Underground and drink,
sex.
Or Spring Street Tavern or whatever, and drink a lot? Or is that just him?
I think that was just him.
Yeah.
I liked him. He was a decent fella.
Yeah. What's your opinion of him, Adam?
He's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch?
No, not really.
No?
I don't keep in touch with my mom, though, so I mean, yeah. That doesn't...
Well, she's all in the East Coast.
Yeah, email's hard.
Email is hard.
Takes a lot longer for those emails to travel through the lines.
So, yeah. Close Quanta and my band, we had a show.
Yeah, it was a good show. You guys did a great job.
Thanks.
Great job, as always, Jared.
Thanks. Okay. I think it went okay.
Okay, it wasn't that good.
I was out of the town, otherwise I would have been there. I really would have.
Thanks. I don't believe
you could have swelled the audience. It was a small crowd.
No.
But anyway.
Intimate.
I had a very strong vodka sour, though. They do mix a strong drink.
That's in the basement of Spring Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time at the Moose, which is across the street.
Yeah, we saw the Moose. There's a lot of action.
A lot of bikers go there.
The Moose Knuckle, as it's called fondly.
Yep.
It's good stuff. Did you know that, Jared? It was good stuff.
I'm just looking at my basement. I'm thinking it's probably not too much smaller than Club Underground.
Oh, wow.
I could set up a nightclub in my basement.
Yeah, you probably could.
Probably could. Our final comment comes from a person you just heard earlier in the show, the great Luke Ski. He has a voicemail that's writing in about some stuff we had talked about on our last show.
Trying to take over the show.
So here we go. You know what? I have to unmute that channel. And then we can hear it.
Let's just do our interpretation of
it. Hi, I'm the great Luke Ski.
All right, here we go.
That's all I got.
You might want to interject comments here and there, so just let me know if you want me to.
Okay, I'll just give you a little.
Here we go.
Hey, Scope, this is Luke Ski. Three things. First of all, Adam, thank you so much for telling me about the Onion AV Club podcast, mentioning me. I had not heard about that. Huh. I went and listened to it. It was really cool. I tweeted about it and made sure that Insane Ian and MC Lars found out, and Ian got back to me. He was really happy, too, especially since they played a clip of one of his songs from the album.
Lars,
thing,
too good.
The
What's that?
Lars, way too good to get in touch with him, though.
He's too busy, making music and touring the world. I guess.
Film Like Father, Like Son is the one with Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron. Vice Versa is the one with Judge Reinhold and...
Fred Savage. Did we mess this up?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the context of it.
I think we couldn't remember one of the name of them.
Oh, okay.
And of Luke Ski is
Luke Ski, master of all body swapping 80s movies.
I'm waiting for the 2-hour Bad Rapport episode about that.
Yes.
Get on it, Luke.
Come on,
body
Luke.
Swapping special.
And an interject mannequin in there just for fun.
And if you could somehow, you and Carrie could act like you've switched bodies, that would just, icing on the cake. Or the cherry on top, as it were.
Yeah, the Al Jabe cherry on top.
All right.
Just to clarify our, late 80s body switching films, we want to make sure everyone, has the right thing in mind. Lastly, not necessarily asking you guys to do a full-blown review of it, but I'm curious if anyone else watched the show on Fox called Alan Gregory.
Did anyone else watch it?
I did not watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I did. But I did not.
Like
I watched the first episode. I did not like it.
Well, Luke's got some comments about it. Here we go.
New cartoon created by Jonah Hill. I'm bringing it up because I didn't like it. Yes, Lipsky actually didn't like something.
I'm sorry.
I watched it, I thought about it for a long time, and I came to the conclusion that I just don't like the show. Every character on it is unpleasant.
Yeah.
There is no one on the show that the average person can relate to. It's all these New York slash L.A. Pretentious, douchebaggy characters, and they're just all
What about the Beltway?
I just don't see myself liking the show as it goes on. You know, I'm going to continue to give the show a chance, see if it gets any better, but I'm just not
Survey says
it,
don't waste your time.
Based on the pilot.
You should save that for a description about the Scope show.
Yeah.
Burgers started. I wasn't sure about it at first, but as the season went on, I really grew to think it was, you know, worthy of being in animation domination on Fox. Anyway, just wanted to know if any of you guys saw Alan Gregory and what you thought of it. Anyway, talk to you later. Bye.
Didn't see it, as we said. Napoleon Dynamite cartoon, Jared. I want to like it, but I'm hesitant that it's going to be good.
I'll give it a shot, but yeah.
I'm hesitant. Jared's making my tie's too tight face.
I'm making my Kathy Gifford. There's some wine here.
Jared's life on the D-list.
Yeah. So those are our comments.
That's Kathy Griffin. He did Kathy Lee Gifford.
Nope. Any comments on the comments?
I didn't hear
any. I agree with him 100%.
All right. You agree with Cyrus that it's always great to have Adam involved? He's giving me the face. He's giving me the face. Tie's too tight.
What's going on? Oh, wait, we were talking about my favorite subject? Me?
Yes.
Dang. I wasn't paying attention.
If you want to talk about Adam some more, you can email us comments@thescopeshow.com.
You can just email me directly if you want to talk about me. That's cool, too.
But it's more fun when we're all involved.
Yeah, you're right.
Call the voicemail line, just like Luke Ski demonstrated, 612-21-SCOPE, 612-217-2673. I swear to God, all their phones will connect, not just Luke's. We've had that set up since day one.
It's not just a tin can?
No.
With a string and one in Chicago?
Right.
One ear?
It's true.
All right.
We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. All that information is on our website at scopeshow.com.
Excellent.
Blah, blah, blah. iTunes reviews, haven't looked. Donations, nobody cares. The one thing we can stress this time of year, though, is the season of shopping. If you're going to buy at Amazon, stop by the website, click on our little Amazon link at the sidebar.
I've done it a few times.
And a little small portion of your purchase goes into the Scope coffers, and we use that to buy booze and hookers. And you don't want us to run out of booze and hookers.
The show just goes downhill. If you're going to buy a TV, especially, make sure you do that.
Yes.
It's something like probably big. $5 we get from that or something.
That'd be great.
Well, that's all I got, Shane. Back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Jed. Adam.
Yeah, hi.
Adam's already got his headphones off.
My ears are just hot.
Jared, Adam.
It's when it hit the two-hour mark, like we're close to hitting, my ears start to be like, what are you doing?
Stop torturing us. So big thanks to the great Luke Ski for being a part of our program. Bestowing Muppets knowledge and body swapping knowledge as well. Big thanks to the cherry on top for a new nickname that's going to carry on, and he won't even know it.
We should, like, every music review, if we get a 4-star, we give it the Al
cherry on top. I love it. And thank you to you two for being here after our long hiatus.
And now we're going to another long hiatus.
And we're going to figure out when our next show is.
That's
going to
be tough.
We'll talk about that offline.
Yeah. Are we want to do, because we got the New Year's Eve party happening. Do we want to do something then?
We might do something, you know, like that.
Something a little off format, like usual. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll talk
about
it. We'll
see what happens.
We'll talk. We'll send out some emails. Okay, let's wrap out this episode 117 of The Scope. It was a good time. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for listening. We love you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying sayonara. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.